Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to De'Longhi conference call. The CEO, Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, and the investor relator, Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, will present you 2011 first quarter consolidated results. A question and answer session will follow the presentation. Now, I hand you over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fabio De'Longhi speaking. Today, the board of directors has approved the first quarter results for De'Longhi Group. We have shown another strong quarter for the group, with a very favorable trend at household division, but also a significant recovery of the professional business. Household posted a growth at almost 25% year-on-year, while professional was able to hit a double-digit growth for the quarter. Also, the margin, despite increased raw materials, was improved from 300 million to the margin improved from 134 million, the industrial margin improved from 134 million to almost 160 million, and in percentage, slightly down from the year before, as said before, due to the impact of currencies and also due to the impact of the rising raw materials. However, thanks to the very strong growth of the group and to the operational leverage and the business model of the group, the EBITDA went up significantly from 32 million 1 year ago to 44 million in 2011. EBITDA margin also was significantly up from 10.7% to over 12% this year. Non-recurring costs were at about 800,000 euros. Also, amortization was in line, was slightly up versus year before at 9 million, and as a consequence, operational profit was up from 22 million to 33 million. For the quarter, the net profit was up almost 90% from 10 million in 2010 to 19 million in 2011. We are also very pleased with the net debt development. In a quarter that traditionally sees an absorption of cash for the group due to the seasonality, we were able to improve, however, from 1 year ago. In the 12 months, the improvement in the net debt was very close to 100 million. And now the debt in the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, is at 26%. We also have to add that we have used a bit more securitization and factoring for approximately 16 million, more versus year before. But also, we have to also note that in the first quarter, we had a negative impact from fair value and from non-cash items for approximately 10 million. Very good news are coming from inventory and working capital management. We were able to further decrease our investment in working capital from one year ago. One year ago, the working capital stood at 295 million. Today, despite the very strong growth in the last 12 months, is at 250 million, reaching a record low on revenues for the group. Some information about markets. The group is still operating in markets which are quite difficult and unpredictable due to many circumstances. Some slowdowns in Europe, like in Spain, Portugal, Greece. However, also some good signs from more buoyant economies, at least for our products, like U.K., Germany, Switzerland, and also Austria, and obviously from a good development in the emerging markets. More notably, our performance was strong in Italy, despite a difficult market environment. We were able to post a 9% growth in the domestic markets. Also, Germany was very strong, with a growth at 16% year-on-year, despite also a very tough comparison due to the very strong performance of the De'Longhi Group in 2010, and also the years before in the German markets. Also, France was better than year before at a lower pace, but still growing at about 6%. I said before, amongst the European market, Spain was difficult and is the only negative market in Western Europe for the group. Good news from Eastern Europe, with growth rates ranging between 40% and 20%, market to market. Very good performance of rest of the world, growing at 30%, and thanks to the new startup in Brazil, a very good performance in South America. The percentage is not very meaningful due to the low comparison base in 2010. By products, the group could enjoy a good performance of most of the product lines. As often happened to the group in the last quarters, another strong performance of coffee makers, still growing at 30%. And also growth from the Kenwood brand in the food preparation, particularly strong, with a growth at almost 25%. Positive news from the new lines from ironing and home care, which posted altogether a growth of approximately 15%. Good kick-in of air conditioning, as expected, due a very low inventory level in the trade in most of the markets. From professional, we have a very strong performance of the large air conditioning machines growing at double digit, while still negative growth for industrial heating, but fortunately fully compensated at the divisional level by the very strong performance of the large air conditioning machine, as said before. We think that the quarter has been strong as we were expecting, and also we see a good kick in of April, and our expectation is to be able for the year to develop sales and margin in line with the guidances given of 10% growth at top line and 20% growth at EBITDA level, despite the difficult raw material market and the increase in most of the raw materials. Nothing to add more, and I leave the session open to Q&A. Thank you.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfà from Banca Letti. Mr. Bonfà, your question, please.
Hello, good afternoon. My questions are related to your, let's say, Nespresso business. And so I presume that is a big chunk of your, let's say, coffee maker overall sales. And I would like to know if you can expand a little bit what are your, the quality of your relationship with Nespresso, i.e., is that any risk that Nespresso tomorrow can change you as a supplier? If that how it can happen. The second one is related to the, let's say, Nespresso potential in the U.S., if that is going to be an important market, and what are the terms of your relation with Nespresso as far as U.S. is concerned? Are you the exclusive supplier or not? And finally, for the time being, how is the performance, if understood correctly, of that 30% expansion in the coffee maker of your De'Longhi machine, not the one, I mean, let's say the automatic or super automatic De'Longhi, excluding Nespresso? Thank you very much.
Okay, so first question about the coffee makers. I said before, Nespresso is only one third of our sales in coffee makers. So obviously, it's an important part of our business, but again, as I said, it's only one third of our sales. Second, no, we have no reason to believe that we risk in new partners for Nespresso substituting De'Longhi in this perspective. Actually, I have to inform that De'Longhi and Nespresso are planning to launch in the second half a new product which is exclusive to De'Longhi and which is called Latissima Plus. So in this perspective, I can reiterate that De'Longhi is definitely one of the top, if not the top, partner for Nespresso in distribution and product development. With regard to the U.S., I think that Nespresso is accelerating its penetration strategy in the United States, and this is also coming from analyst research on Nestlé in their reports. I think that as a consequence, De'Longhi has one of the top partners for Nespresso, and also considering the new Latissima launch, which will kick in as anticipated in the second half of the year, we will be able to benefit from the very strong commitment of Nespresso in the U.S. market. Also, I have to say that we are developing a good relationship with the Nestlé Group in general, and we have been appointed recently sole distributor for its Dolce Gusto products with regards to the U.S. market. Also, that will be a potential element for acceleration for De'Longhi in coffee in North America, and generally speaking, accelerator for the growth of De'Longhi in the global U.S. electrical appliance markets. In terms of performance of other markets, other machines, I think that all coffee makers performed very well for De'Longhi, from the traditional machines to the super automatic machine to Nespresso. Also, we have to say that also the impact of the newly distributed Dolce Gusto machines in the first quarter was quite strong in many markets. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I will come back in case. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Alessandro Falcioni from UniCredit Milano. Mr. Falcioni, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I would like to know, so you're saying, if I did not misunderstand you, that the coffee segment sales in the first quarter were up 30%, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How are the price increases going through? You were saying in the past that you were intending to increase prices, average prices in the course of the year in order to offset raw material prices. Given the gross margin reduction, is that due to prices not coming through, or is it due to mix, or you know? And so, generally speaking, you know, how is that going? And also, as a second question, if you can please tell us how the new product launches for the course of this year are going to be timed. Thank you.
Okay, so we said before, so the growth rate confirmed for coffee makers was at 30% in Q1. With regard to the margin, yes, we were impacted as expected by currencies and raw materials. I think that our pricing policy for 2011 aimed to pass on to the market the raw material is at the time being quite effective. So we are happy, we're pleased with what we are doing in the market. As of now, the price increase has not yet fully impacted. As also, we have to think that also the raw materials impact has not yet fully incorporated in our costs and therefore in the margins. So I would say that I feel comfortable with what we are doing. There is a slight reduction in the margin. It's also due to some mix effects, but we feel comfortable that we'll be able this year to, I would say, very much protect the profitability of the group at, say, at gross margin level, and therefore to be able to capitalize that in if we will be able to grow as we expect in terms of EBITDA and deliver the EBITDA growth that we have already, let's say, announced in terms of guidelines. So, 10% top line and 20% EBITDA improvements. In terms of new product launches, we have recently introduced the new Prima Donna. Unfortunately, we were a bit late in the introduction in the market, and the numbers in the first quarter have not yet been, let's say, helped. The first quarter was not helped by the launch of the machine, which has been postponed to the second quarter. So we are now starting the deliveries. This will obviously support our growth rate in the next 9 months. We believe that another possible hit, the top seller for the group will be the new Lattissima Plus, which will be heavily supported by advertising spend and also by demonstration in most of the markets. And also, we are very happy about the performance of a newly introduced range of toasters and kettles, the Brillante line in the U.K. market, and also the continued success of the Icona range. Then we are now rolling out in more markets the Cooking Chef, which was a major hit and a major success in France, Italy, and now will be rolled out to many more countries, plus introduction of new food processors, blenders. But probably the strongest innovation for Kenwood will be, again, TriBlade. TriBlade is a hand blender. Hand blender represents, generally speaking, one-third of the value of food preparation in the market. Therefore, entering in this segment is opening a door to a tremendous growth opportunity for Kenwood and for De'Longhi Group in a segment where Kenwood has very strong brand awareness, where Kenwood has very strong innovation, thank you for the TriBlade system, and will be certainly, with the heavy support of advertising and demonstrations, will be one of the key drivers for our growth for the fall. So I would say, if I have really to underline the key drivers, we will continue to have SuperAutomatica with the new Prima Donna. We will continue to have success with Nespresso and now with Lattissima Plus. The rollout in more markets of Kenwood Chef in the high end, and then this fantastic opportunity in hand blenders with TriBlade. On top of all these launches in our core categories, we're also having good success from ironing systems in many markets, and therefore we will continue our effort in, let's say, not relying on only one single category as it is in the spirit of De'Longhi. So despite the tremendous success we are enjoying in coffee, we will keep searching, entering in new categories, and we have really blessed ironing as one of the next categories for us, still smaller, but showing nice signs of improvement.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll come back with more later, eventually. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Claudio Giacomiello from Banca Akros. Mr. Giacomiello, your question, please.
Yes. The question I would like to ask is, in percentage terms, how much of the household division sales are coming from coffee machine in Q1? And also, if you can remind us, which was this number in full year 2010? Thank you.
The line was a bit disturbed. Just to make sure that we have understood right your questions. You want to know the percentage, how much coffee maker sales represent on total households for quarter one and total year last year?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Okay. So in the quarter, we had an impact of 37% on household, while in 2010, full year, the impact was slightly below 33%.
Okay, and if I may follow up, can you give us more details on Dolce Gusto? So, just to say, when you started the selling the product, and if the guidance of 10% also include all the potential of this in 2011.
Well, yeah, okay, yes. So, Dolce Gusto is a closed capsule system from Nestlé. It is a multi-beverage system, so it is a machine which is able to make espresso, coffee, cappuccino, but also hot chocolate and other drinks. The system is a pump-driven system versus, drip or non-pump systems, which are more, long or black type of coffees, and De'Longhi was engaged as a distributor from Nestlé in September-October 2010 with, four markets, which are Spain, Italy, Switzerland, and Scandinavia. Well, to be more precise, we should say seven markets, Scandinavia being composed of four countries. However, the machines are very successful in the market, and they are, taking market share from other coffee systems, traditionally the non-pump coffee systems as an upgrade, or taking market share from the more traditional drip or longer coffee maker system from the low end. So consumers willing to upgrade, but upgrade from the classic German or American type of coffee maker, or the soft pad system, traditionally in the non-pump pad system. Lately, De'Longhi has been also appointed sole distributor for United States. So United States is probably, we have a growth opportunity arising from the sales we're gonna have in the four markets or seven markets that I mentioned at the beginning. On top, now we can add also US.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Filippo Prini from Banca Leonardo Milano. Mr. Prini, your question, please.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one, you confirm your guidance of plus 10% of on revenues and plus 20% EBITDA. So you are implicitly guiding for April-December, in April-December 2011, for even better adjusted EBITDA margin. So I assume that you are going to further improve your sales mix to even improve your pricing, considering that maybe some headwind from raw materials will be still there. The second one is just related to possible M&A. I believe that you are going to improve your net debt and maybe turn cash positive in the next quarter. So are you targeting some business, some market? Is there something specific or not? And the third one is more a housekeeping question. Would like to know, given your roughly minus 5 million of financial results, the split between pure financial charges, Forex, and financial discounts. Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Bacoccoli Luca from Banca IMI. Mr. Bacoccoli, your question, please.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Excuse me. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
No, we sorry, there was a the line was disturbed. We were trying to answer, but probably you couldn't hear our voices.
Okay, no problem. Fabio, I'm going to make question afterwards.
Okay, thank you. Okay, sorry. So the first questions from Mr. Prini. We confirm our guidances for growth up to 10% for the year in sales and up to 20% at EBITDA level. We foresee, obviously, that probably the growth rate, we still believe that we will grow in the second half, in the next quarters. Probably we will have a less impressive growth rate due to a much tougher comparison. I would remind you that last year in the second half, the growth rates were at about 20% year on year. But we still think that we can deliver top-line growth in the second half and in the next quarters, and also EBITDA improvements. The second question was regards to M&A. Obviously, we have now a almost zero debt. And we are now considering M&A opportunities. And there is nothing that will happen shortly, or we believe so. And but we reiterate that we are more focused in looking into opportunities for the household division. We are interested in probably the emerging markets, but also we can be interested in brand a very strong brands or brands covering very well products that are not now in our product portfolio and maybe adjacent to our product lines. In terms of financial charges, I will hand the word to Fabrizio Micheli for answering.
Yes, financial charges have shown a decrease, which is due mainly to the interest and, let's say, the liquidity, debt and liquidity, and currency management. Within the total amount, which decreased from about 6 million to about 4 million, almost 5 million. There was a slightly constant, rather constant contribution of costs for factoring which is, you know, part of our constant funding strategy, and from financial discounts. The amount of these two components are have remained quite stable in versus 2010. What is decreased is the, as I said before, the interest and other items which decreased from about 2.5 million to about zero. Here we have a positive contribution from exchange rates. There has been some exchange rate gains from some currencies, specifically the ruble that we didn't hedge, as a policy we didn't hedge the ruble, and the ruble performed very well. And as regards interest on debt, we had on one side a rising interest, positive interest from liquidity, but on the other side we have in let's say we don't have a reduction in the negative interest from debt, because we have still in place medium-term funding that we didn't reimburse, as we have already explained in previous press releases. So at the time being, we are still, let's say, getting the effect of medium-term funding that we have in place and that we did not reimburse, even though we have the liquidity to do that. So we prefer, in view of our investment profile, which is quite significant, we prefer to have an opportunistic policy as regards financing. The group, the group intention is to grow, and so we manage separately the, let's say, working capital flows, which are providing cash, and the investment funding on the other side, that is, of course, paying higher spreads than liquidity. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Did you hear the answer?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So maybe I can make my question.
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, the first one regards coffee maker and food appliance performances. Could you tell us what growth you expect for these two divisions going forward, or if you prefer, what is the implied growth in the full year 10% guidance which you reiterated before? And the second question regards input costs. Could you give us an update on the additional costs you reasonably expect for the whole year, and if you still expect to recover the raw material price increases through list price revision? And finally, the third question is on the tax rate. On the previous call, you mentioned an improving tax rate starting from this year, thanks to the increased profit coming from emerging markets. And you mentioned on your press release that the sales incidence of emerging markets grew by 200 basis points. So I know it's quite early for making guidance, giving guidance on the tax rate, but if you can give us an idea of the tax rate that you expect on 2011, thanks to the increasing percentage of profit coming from lower taxes countries. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the question. Yeah,
For the full year, coffee makers, I know many are waiting for a decline in the growth rate of coffee makers in the future. I can say that I don't expect major changes in the growth rate in this category for the future years. I think that there is definitely a trend for espresso coffee makers or superior coffee makers. In reality, I don't think that the coffee maker market itself is growing so rapidly. It's really the espresso superior coffee maker market that is attracting consumers from the low end. So in reality, I think this is a natural trend that will continue in the future, at least for the mature markets. Obviously, in the emerging markets, we will have more and more tea drinkers or other drink coffee makers being the consumers being attracted by the nutrients in espresso. I think that also advertising spent in this category will continue to be huge from manufacturers and multinationals. So I really think that this also will support the growth rate in the future. So I now think that it is possible that we continue to see a very strong double-digit growth at coffee makers for the year and the future years. Then to say if it's going to be 20 or 30, it's probably very difficult to predict. But again, we confirm that we believe we are strong believers in this category and strong believers in the growth opportunity of this segment. In terms of performance of the two divisions, also for the year, if I didn't misunderstand your question, we believe that probably we have to expect a lower pace of growth for the next nine months, but we think that the gap between the growth rate of household and professional will be reduced, but again we think that still, household will continue to outperform professional for the year, even if we expect further growth for professional division. In terms of raw materials, I think that the raw materials will continue to be very high. We think that if we are having probably a higher impact than formerly expected on the raw materials. Mm-hmm. We are a bit higher from our original budget, but on the other side, we are helped by the currencies, which are also better than we expected. So in the end, we think that if we stick to our budgets in terms of price increase, as we are doing, we will be able to offset the incremental costs that we're going to have in the products that were budgeted. But now are coming less from currencies and more from raw material, but still be around 40 million euros. Okay. So in principle, many changes underlying raw material costs and currencies, but the overall impact that we will gonna get in the cost will be not far from the impact that was originally expected under different assumptions. On the tax rate, I will hand over the word again to Fabrizio Micheli.
Yeah, the tax rate, it might be misleading to mention the tax rate for the first quarter because it is of no help in addressing an estimation, an estimate for the full year. However, if we compare the tax rate of the first quarter of 2011 to the first quarter of 2010, we have a confirmation of a lower rate, more or less 4% less than last year. And we can confirm that the impact of the higher share of emerging markets on the total markets will provide a benefit in terms of the tax rate for the full year, as we have already anticipated. So, broadly speaking, we expect a tax rate for 2011, averaging 33%, but let's say in the range between 30% and 35%.
Okay, very, very clear. Thank you.
There are no questions at the moment. I remind you that you can register for your question pressing star followed by one. Next question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfa from Banca Letti. Mr. Bonfa, your question, please.
Hi, again, I would like to know if it's possible disclosing the US dollar implied Forex on the first quarter 2011 with the first quarter 2010, and how is doing your hedging for the full year 2011, looking at the recent trends on the US dollar. And after, I would like to know if it's possible for you to elaborate maybe shortly what is the state of the art in terms of penetration of coffee makers, coffee machine, let's say in large emerging markets. I'm referring like countries like Brazil, China, Russia, and so on and so forth. So I presume that the potential there is completely untapped. And how do you see that penetration evolving, taking into account of the local consumer habits and tastes? Thank you very much.
So for exchange rate impact, I hand the word again to Fabrizio Micheli.
Usually we don't give detailed disclosure of sensible figures like exchange rate impact. However, as already mentioned by Mr. DeLonghi, this year we will have a benefit from exchange rates. We were expecting last year at the budget time a dollar at 130. While now we have an average dollar forecast for the whole year, which is a mix of hedging and spot rate, between let's say 140 and 143. As of today, we can say that our expectation for this year is to have no impact, to be neutral about the dollar impact versus 2010. But on the other side, I will add a positive comment regarding other currencies, because we are seeing also some benefit, not huge benefit, but some, let's say, material benefit from export currencies, mainly the currencies of emerging markets, of commodity countries, and other currencies in countries where we export. So, summarizing, we have neutralized the dollar impact on purchases. And on the other hand, we have some positive effect on the export flows. The next question is about penetration of the coffee makers in emerging markets.
Well, we said many times that espresso maker penetration, we believe, is still fairly low, also in the more mature markets like Germany or Netherlands or Belgium, to make a few examples. So we think that there is a lot of room for further penetration in, let's say, continental Europe or in Western Europe, generally speaking. Obviously, even more opportunities may be arising from the potential further penetration in Eastern Europe and Russia. As a matter of fact, a strong driver for our coffee maker growth is definitely Russia, Eastern Europe, but also all the emerging markets, where I would note that Australia is very strong, but also the smaller markets for espresso makers like China or also Brazil are definitely more and more appealing to us. We have obviously a strategy for acceleration, to accelerate our penetration in terms of better distribution in those markets, in order to be in pole position in the future for being the company able to maximize the opportunities in these markets.
And if I may, I'm going back to, let's say, the first answer. Am I right to assume that the delta, the positive delta on the U.S. dollar for this year, I mean, or better, you release your guidance of 10% top-line growth and 20% EBITDA growth, I presume, with the budget, with the U.S. dollar budget at 130. Is the extra benefit on top of your guidance, or are you reinvesting that on your business, or how shall we consider this, let's say, benefit? And the second is, again, on, let's say, this performance on, let's say, from emerging market, is it possible for you to tell us where Nespresso is present? I mean, is Nespresso present everywhere, or is it not yet in Russia, Eastern Europe, Australia, China, and so on and so forth?
As regards the impact of effects, the guideline of 10% growth for revenues and 20% growth in EBITDA is not due to effects impact, but it's related to the operating leverage, that is the cost structure and the split between variable costs and fixed costs. The impact of the major impact of FX this year, as already explained by Mr. DeLonghi, is to counterbalance the rise in raw material prices above expectations. So if we go back to what we were budgeting last year for 2011, they expected the budgeted cost increases for cost of goods sold amounted to about 40 million about 25 million due to raw material prices and roughly 15 million due to a stronger dollar. As that today, as already explained, the total amount, the total negative effect on costs is still expected to be around 40 million, but the split of these total amount between raw materials and dollar has changed dramatically. The dollar effect has been neutralized, and the raw material prices on the other side has increased dramatically. And so we can say that, broadly speaking, the whole effect of 40 million is due to raw materials prices. So overall, the dollar effect is not changing the P&L profile if taken together with the raw material prices effect.
Okay.
The next question is about the presence of Nespresso in countries, and I handed the question to Mr. De Longhi.
This is a question that I cannot answer fully because it is really a question that you should address to Nestlé. I can say that in the last months, De'Longhi has added new markets, has won the distribution of Nespresso in more markets. We have started in some Asian markets, like Hong Kong and Singapore and other southeast of Asia markets. Also, we started recently in Russia. And we started in Poland, and also we started in Hungary. So we have really extended our partnership in many more markets.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no questions at the moment.
So if there are no more questions anymore, I thank you all for attending the De'Longhi first quarter conference. Bye-bye.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.